Hey, it's Johnny Jett. Welcome back to my podcast YouTube channel. Today we have Nomadic Matt. Matt, how you doing?
Doing great, Johnny. Thanks for having me back here. This is like second time.
Yeah, so the first time we did 39 travel questions. Today we're going to talk about your trip to Europe. You just got back. I mean, it seems like you've been gone all summer. Is that true?
Yeah, I left mid-June and I got back 2 days ago. So like 80 days. Like
80
that.
Days. That should be the title of your next book, 80 Days in Europe. So how many countries did you go to?
Five. I went to Greece, Albania, Montenegro, Croatia, and Slovenia.
So what was it like traveling during COVID? Was it completely different than years past or?
Yeah, I would say it's a lot more subdued. You definitely... You know, as a budget traveler, I tend to stay in a lot of hostels, you know. And so they were definitely a lot quieter than they were.
Cheaper?
No, not cheaper, but quieter. Prices, I definitely didn't notice Europe being cheaper. I think where I went in Europe was still pretty crowded with tourists. Greece was busy.
With Americans? Right?
More Europeans. But as I left Greece... because I spent 5 weeks there. There were more Americans by the time I left there than when I got there in June. There were a lot of Americans in Croatia, especially in the Split Dubrovnik area. But for the most part, it was mostly Europeans.
And is that a good thing when there's Americans there, or is that a bad thing?
I don't mind Americans. They don't bother me.
I mean, I'm American. I love Americans. Although when I travel internationally, I don't really want to be around a lot of Americans because I want to have a... authentic experience.
Yeah, you know, I think it's nature for everyone. You know, you travel to escape your countrymen, and so when you're around them, you're like, oh, it's like being back at home. You know, so obviously, like, it's cool to meet locals and other travelers that are not Americans, but it wasn't like swamped. Like, I didn't feel like I was in New York, you know, with so many people.
And how about when you're going between borders? Did you know? Are they asking for each country asking for a COVID negative test?
Yeah, it was, you know, Albania didn't care. You didn't need a test. Same with Montenegro.
Or I'm sorry, they didn't what?
Albania and Montenegro didn't require a PCR test or a vaccination. Okay. However, Croatia did. So I had to show that at the border, and the same was true for Slovenia. They checked that out, and they also wanted to know where I was staying. Slovenia, in a way, was kind of like Italy, in the sense that, you know, to do anything, you were supposed to have your sort of little COVID card.
Your green pass.
Yeah, except, you know, I... Hold on 1 second, Johnny.
Sure. You know, when people come back from Europe... traveling, sometimes they got to blow their nose or cough. That's why I kind of like the masks, because, you know, all the times I was flying pre-pandemic, one of my biggest pet peeves were having people coughing, sneezing without covering their mouths. I'm like, I used to carry masks. I've been carrying masks for over a decade.
Yeah. This is just because I had some chips right before.
I'm just messing with you.
You know, in Slovenia, you had to have to check into a hotel or a hostel, proof of COVID vaccination. They even checked in on my free walking tour. They're supposed to in restaurants, but that was not the case. But they did on the train.
They did.
Greece, you know, they didn't really look at my forms, but whenever I flew in Greece, they definitely checked out. They wanted to see proof of either a negative test or my vaccine card.
So with your vaccine card, did you just show your paper card or
yeah, did, I just showed that.
Or did you put it in an app?
No, I just showed the paper card. I carry it with me. And then they were just like, cool, okay.
Could you have a digital picture of it, or they want the real thing?
I don't know that. Okay. But a couple of clubs and islands I went to in Croatia wanted vaccination proof, and that was fine with the photo.
And when you needed to show a COVID negative test, did you get a test in Europe before each country?
Yeah, so well, being vaccinated, I didn't need to do that. However, coming home, I had to get that, and it's actually really easy. There's everywhere you go, the airports, any like major tourist city, there's rapid testing everywhere. It
How
was
much?
never a problem. Anywhere between 20 euros to 80 euros, depending on if you wanted the rapid test or the PCR.
Yeah, so I mean, to come back into the U.S., you just need a rapid. You don't need the PCR,
Yeah.
which a lot of countries do require a PCR to get into, or not a lot, but some, like Canada, you have to have a
Yeah.
PCR test to get in.
Yeah, but they're very easy to find COVID testing centers.
And those the antigen tests or the rapid tests, you don't need to stick the thing up your nose. You just spit, right? Or they do, or
Up the
swab.
nose. I mean, the ones they did, they swabbed.
Up the nose.
Yeah.
And did it bother you?
I've done so many COVID tests that I'm just used to it now. I mean, like, I feel like it's second nature. It never gets easier. It's always annoying. It's like, watery eyes and everything, but it doesn't bother me. And they come back within 15, 20 minutes. Very easy. And they'll print out the form, and it will have your, it will be EU regulations, and they know you need to fly or to go somewhere, so it's all, it says all the information, it's got a QR code, the whole works.
And coming back into America, did they check that? Or was it just the airline that was checking it?
Airline checked it. No one at in immigration checked it.
And what'd you fly? American?
Swiss.
Okay. And did you upload it to to an app, or did you just show it at the
I have the
check-in?
paper. I have the paper.
Okay.
So
And
they asked me to check in because I connected from Ljubljana into Zurich and Zurich to Boston. And so on both flights, they asked to see the COVID test.
okay.
And then when I landed, I was supposed to have a form that, a test that I was negative, but that was not asked by immigration.
And were the flights packed and were they strict with masks?
Yeah, Swiss was very strict with masks.
I bet. And was it full flight?
Yeah.
Okay. Did
Full flight coming back.
you get upgrade, I hope?
I used points, so I was in business class. So.
That a boy, that's a good business class right there.
Yeah, it's a little dated. I was it was the A330. I think their screens were a little too small. I was hoping to pay to upgrade to first, but they wanted $2,000, and I was like, nope.
Forget that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I've been on an A330 of Swiss, but I like
It's
that.
not as new as their 777s,
Right.
but it's the same design. The screens are just a little more older.
Gotcha. And how were the Europeans to you? Were they happy to see you, or were they like, oh, you're from America, you must have COVID?
No. I mean, when the discussion came up about it was often, how'd your country fuck it up so bad? It was like, how are you doing so good and not, and then you have to explain lots of things to it. But they were generally happy to see me. I asked a lot of people in tourism how the season was going. And they were glad to have some semblance of the tourist season. Obviously, in that part of Europe, Australian tourists play a big role because you have the sailing trips, the party boats,
Right.
Greece, and all that. And so that. All the tour, everyone I spoke to was, like bummed they weren't there because they play such a big role in the tourist percentage there.
So no
But
Aussies. You didn't run into any Aussies.
only the Aussies that were kept out of their country to begin with.
I see.
Maybe like three.
So if someone drugged you for the last 2 years and you woke up in Europe, would you know there was a pandemic going on?
Not in Greece and Slovenia, yeah.
You would. Why?
They signs everywhere. There's stuff about masks. They ask for before you go on the ferry, you have to fill out all these forms. Same for flights, but if you go into Albania, you would not know, or
Wouldn't know.
Montenegro, you would not know.
No one's wearing masks inside.
No mask whatsoever.
Wow.
In Albania, it's like COVID doesn't exist.
And how are they doing in terms of how are their hospitals? Are they full or?
They had a big wave in the winter, but right now they're fine.
Nice.
But I think their numbers started creeping up at the end of the summer. They have a very low vax rate, so it'll be interesting to see, are a lot of people bringing the Delta variant over? But again, most of the travelers that you met in, say that part, were other Europeans who are more likely to have been vaccinated. You got a lot of, say in Albania on the coast, you got like a lot of Serbians and Bosnians, Romanians, Bulgarians, coming to the coastal towns. But in sort of the backpacker trail I was on, it was mostly Western Europeans or Americans. And then
So there were Americans in Albania, because, well, a good amount.
More than I thought. A lot, I met a lot of Americans that had come over during COVID because Albania, never shut their borders. And there was no real lockdown except for in the very beginning. And as an American, you get a 1 year visa there. So a lot of people were just living there.
So would you live there?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I loved Albania. The Wi-Fi is really good, surprisingly.
That's good.
It's cheap. Locals are friendly. It's a really beautiful country. I cannot speak enough good things about it. I mean, I really, really dug it.
The
I extended
closest,
my time there.
yeah, the closest I've ever been is having my cell phone pick up Albanian cell towers when I was sailing right by between Montenegro and I don't know if it's Croatia or going down to Greece from Croatia.
Well, it's a very lovely place. I definitely recommend going.
So, would you tell your friends to go to Europe right now, or would you tell them to wait until the summer?
I'd go right now. I have some friends where are I have some friends there right now, and it's quiet. Again, as Europeans go back to school, and kids go back to school and work, and Americans do the same thing. It's very quiet right now because again, Australians are not traveling, Kiwis are not traveling. There's no Chinese tour groups. Cruises are, their frequency is very reduced. So it'd be pretty quiet. I mean, you wouldn't want to go if you are not vaccinated because with the changing rules, you could get stuck.
I see. So, what's your best tip to travel to Europe right now?
Be vaccinated.
I mean, it seems like that's going to be, I mean, everyone's going to have to be vaccinated sooner or later, most likely.
Right. I mean, if you just take a look, when we went off the safe list and Holland changed the Netherlands changed their rule that even vaccinated Americans had to be quarantined. I mean, all those river cruises and stuff that, that leave from the Netherlands, they had to bus people to Germany. There was a lot of changing, and it changes. It wasn't like, oh, this is going to happen 3 weeks. They're like, starting tomorrow, this is
Right.
going to, this is now the law.
Yeah, that's why I haven't traveled internationally because I have two little kids at home. I just cannot take the chance of being stuck away from them.
Yeah,
And
I definitely would not go to Europe if you're not vaccinated. I would also recommend having a digital copy of your vaccination card. Budgeting more time for, airports and such, because every person, they have to go, okay, now where's your paperwork? Okay, now where's your paperwork? And some people are like, oh, it's somewhere in my bag, right? So lines take longer.
Right.
Just having more patience.
And how was the transfer when you were in the Zurich airport?
Seamless.
Was it?
I filled out their passenger locator form, but it wasn't asked. I
Okay.
never left the airport, so they didn't ask to see it.
But you went through security again, I assume, to get back on the flight to the US.
I cleared customs, and they were like, "Oh, where'd you come in from? Slovenia? Yeah, cool. Okay, bye."
Okay,
Very
good.
easy. But that I would also say the customs officer next to me was asking a lot more questions of the people coming to her,
I see.
whereas my person was just in and out, like, okay, bye, okay, bye. So I think it's very dependent on the officer. Like when I came in from Croatia to Slovenia, you know, I took the train, they pull over, the border guards come on. The Slovenian guy wanted to know where I was staying. He wanted to see proof of my reservation. I had to pull it up on my phone. He asked me about my trip. He was like, you were just in Montenegro. Why? You know, so I think there's a lot more, you know, depending on the border guard that you get, you should be prepared, you know, to have your hotel information, you know, all the documents you think you might need, and maybe then some.
Right. And how about when you arrived into Greece when you came from America? Because you flew from New York or Boston to Athens. What'd you do?
Yeah. So when I landed, they asked to see the passenger locator form. And that was it. Delta, I flew.
Long wait? Was there a long wait border, right?
Yeah.
How long?
Oh, for me, it was like 30 minutes, but we were the only plane there, but they took a while to
go. It still took 30 minutes. You were the only plane.
Yeah.
And you were there early. I mean, there's a lot more planes going now than they were back in June.
Yeah. But they didn't ask to see my COVID vaccination card because Delta did. And so my assumption is that the border officials assume the airlines are checking because they have to. So they're not going through that extra step to save time.
Gotcha. Well, Matt, I appreciate you taking the time. I know I told you 15 minutes and it's been about 18.
That's all right. I can stay here as long as you want, Johnny.
I appreciate that. Did I miss anything? I mean, what else would I?
I mean, I think, you know, we're going to Europe right now is there's a lot of forms, you know, I get my friends went, they're always like, does this airline, you know, what do I need for the airlines? What do I need for immigration? And it's always good to Google right before you go, right? Because
it's always changing. Things are
changing. It's always changing. And, you know, you could say, well, I'm transiting, right? So I don't need anything. But Germany might, you know, have rules for transit passengers. You know, Switzerland had rules. And whether or not they check is really, you know, I don't really know, but you don't want to be caught with your pants down, so to speak, right?
Yeah, no one wants to be caught with their pants down.
Yeah.
what was I going to say? So how about eating? Were there a lot of restaurants? Was it to go only, or was it outdoors, indoors, or everything?
Well, it was summertime. So, you know, Europe has their outdoor dining, but indoor was open too. Limited capacity in Croatia. And you definitely needed reservations. I was surprised, you know, just showing up and they're like, nope, we're booked.
For how long? You know? Like a month or?
Oh, like just that night. You definitely wanted to put in for the next day.
Okay. Because some places you need to put in a month in advance, like Hawaii, a couple months for some restaurants.
Yeah. But it was, indoor was open.
So was anyone wearing masks outside at any of these countries?
Not really.
Okay. A lot of people smoking.
A lot of people smoking. Oh my God. So much smoke. It's like, I mean, one of the best parts of wearing the mask is just like helps protect against everyone's secondhand smoke. I mean, you know, I go in from Greece to Slovenia and the Balkans, you know, are infamous for all the cigarette smoke, you know, it's like national pastime. And it was great. I was in Albania and I'm in the bus station and they have giant no smoking signs everywhere. Everyone's just in the bus station and, you know, smoking away.
I mean, I've seen that many times in Italy or Spain. Even in the airport, you'd sometimes see people smoking.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was a lot of smoke, but masks were not a thing. On public transportation, buses, ferries, you know, trains, definitely everyone wore a mask. There was
all the countries or just not Albania?
In Albania, you should wear a mask.
Okay. But were they?
It wasn't ruled out. No, not really. I was.
And did they look at you like you're from Mars?
Yeah, they give me a look, but then nobody would. It was the mask wearing isn't as political where I was as it seems to be in America. Nobody put up a fight, you know, if you're on the ferry and they come over and they're like, hey, put your mask up. People just put their mask up. You know, it was. The 2.5 months I was there, I never witnessed any sort of disruption over mask wearing.
Yeah.
In Montenegro, going inside, you had to wear a mask. They were pretty serious about it. Slovenia was pretty serious about it. Croatia, everyone on the bus always had masks on. And they were very adamant about it in Greece too.
And Swiss, you can't wear a cloth mask, right? Are they one of the airlines that doesn't require, won't allow a cloth? You have to have a medical or surgical or?
According to their rules, but the guy sitting next to me definitely had a cloth mask.
I see. So. All right. Well, Matt, where can people find you?
You can find me on social media at Nomadic Matt, as well as my website, nomadicmatt.com.
All right. And I am johnnyjet.com. And please subscribe to this YouTube channel and podcast. And Matt, thank you so much. And I look forward to hearing your next adventures. Maybe Asia, where are you going to go?
I mean, if they ever open up, you know, I was sure that they would open up for this tour season, at least Southeast Asia, but
not looking
now
like
that they got that. Yeah. If they didn't get that second wave, you know, I think they would have. But now with the Delta variant just sweeping through that part of the world, I just don't see it. I think they're going to stay closed. But I would like to go to South America if Chile and Argentina open up.
Well, Argentina, I don't think so, but Uruguay is opening up.
Yeah, I know Peru is open and Colombia is open. But I know I want to, Brazil is open, but Brazil has got way too much COVID for me. But I don't know.
All right. You know, and you had, by the way, you were one of the first travel bloggers to have COVID. You got it way really early.
Oh, I got it right in the beginning. I got it in New York, you know, right? You know, I tested positive for it right when they shut everything down on that Friday.
And
that was the day I was like, I don't feel good. Oh, I got COVID.
And were you worried about getting it again while you were in Europe?
No. Honestly, being vaccinated and having COVID, you know, it's like my booster shot, right? They say, you know, if you get the booster shot, you are like really unlikely to become a breakthrough case. And they said that there were studies that showed that people who had COVID and got the vaccine sort of had an increased immune response. So
right.
I was never worried. I mean, I wear my mask because it also really helps with allergies. And I, even before COVID, I was religious about always keeping clean. So
good.
I was not worried. Plus, everything, it's the summertime, you're outdoors. I was at the beach, you know, I'm on the Greek Islands, like I'm hiking. There wasn't a lot of places I went where it was ever crowded. And, you know, a ferry, but everyone's wearing masks. And, you know, it gives you a lot of confidence because you know, they're only letting in people who are either vaccinated not Albania or Montenegro, but the other countries are letting in people who are vaccinated or have tested negative. So already that reduces the likelihood of risk.
Right. And how about in the hostels? Were there a lot of Americans in the hostels too? And is everyone just on their phone? Is there any social life anymore in hostels? Because, I mean, in the old days, that's where you could meet people. But I think with you know, free FaceTime, it's difficult.
Yeah. I mean, I always say, you know, you should put down your damn phone. And that was a problem pre-COVID too, you know, people just being on their computer. Right. But no, I would say hostels was like 50-50 Americans, Europeans, but there was an active social life. People were, you know, looking to get out and you know, meet people. You know, I would say it was, you know, up in Slovenia and, you know, in Zagreb, you know, and outside of sort of, you know, the Greek islands and, you know, Dubrovnik and Split, you know, and Kotor and all these sort of party places that are really social, it was fairly quiet.
And like and in the hostels, are they mostly really young or are there some older folks?
Older folks too, yeah. I mean, I saw a family in this hostel in Slovenia. I mean, a lot of these hostels are running at, you know, half capacity, you know, and so they're really quiet.
Okay.
I think in this one hostel in Zagreb, I stayed up 4 nights. I saw 2 other guests. And I think some nights I was the only guest.
And when did you have your own room or you were in a room with other people?
I'm in my own room. Yeah.
Private bath too?
Shared bath.
And how much would that cost?
On average between 25 to 50 euros a night.
Okay. You gotta like it. You gotta like it a lot.
I mean, I stayed in, you know, You know, in Albania, the hostels were pre-packed, like really full. Same in Greece, and same even in you know, Split and Dubrovnik, were very full. But it was when you got to, you know, the less beachy, less, you know,
Tourist
I know,
spots.
Zagreb doesn't see a lot of tourists to begin with, and you know, in comparison to say Paris. So it's pretty quiet.
And are you making the reservations in advance and online? How are you doing it?
In advance online, usually by a couple of days.
At which website do you use?
For hostels, I use Hostelworld.
Hostelworld, okay.
But I found Booking.com had the best availability for like small B&Bs as well as like budget hotels. Hotels.com wasn't so great. They didn't show a lot of options,
Okay.
but Booking.com did. And yeah, I use mostly Booking or Hostelworld.
And you feel safe leaving your computer and belongings in your room, or what do you do?
Yeah, do you feel safe at a hotel doing it?
Yeah, I mean,
Okay, so
I
why
haven't stayed in a hostel in a long time.
the hostel private rooms, you can lock the door.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good. I'm happy to hear
They
that.
invented these things called locks and hostel
You know what?
keys.
I never even heard of such a thing.
Yeah. But you know, you'd be surprised even in dorm rooms, people leave their computers around because you know, if you're staying in a small hostel of, you know, 15, 20 beds, right? And everyone kind of knows everyone, and there's a lot of people working from the road. So, you know,
They'll
there's
leave
not,
their computers in the room.
yeah, there's not a lot of theft that happens in hostels. This idea that, you know, hostels, you know, people steal in hostels is greatly overblown.
Is it?
You know, like it's very rare if someone's going to steal. You know, think about it, right? You're in a dorm room, there's four other people there. You leave your stuff, you know, you need a key card to get into the room. You
Okay.
shut the door. Your computer is there. Come back, your computer's gone. There's four people that took it. One of four people took it, you know?
And speaking of, go ahead, sorry.
And, you know, and a lot of hostels, you know, they have security cameras. So, you know, they'll, you know, if they see someone in the hallway carrying your computer, they're gonna be like, okay.
Okay, good. And speaking of hostels, you still own one in Austin?
No, that we shut that down when COVID started, and we're just selling the building now.
Oh yeah, okay.
You know, my business partner moved to California, and you know, we were
Well,
gonna.
someone from Texas moved to California. That's breaking news. I thought it
I
was the other
know,
way
right?
around.
Yeah, right. It's he's reverse migrating, you know.
Good to hear.
And so yeah, we just didn't want to, you know, we, you know, if we were had to put, we were small to begin with, so if we had to run at half capacity, you know, it wasn't going to make any money, and it wasn't worth the effort.
Gotcha. Well, sorry, never got to check it out. But you know what? One day you'll get
I
another one, I'm
mean,
sure.
we had a private room too. You could stay in
See
the
that?
door,
I
the
would have left
door
my computer in there.
locked. It even had its own private bathroom.
I mean, that's golden. I had that once in Paris, and I was like, wow. Anyway,
Well, there are some really nice hostels out there, Johnny.
tell me the best hostel in the world.
I don't think there's one great
What's your
hostel
favorite
in the
one?
world. I like one that I really like. I'd say Francesco's in Ios, Greece.
Okay, Francesco's. How much is that a night?
35.
Private room.
Private room.
Private bath.
Private bath.
Gotta love it. Matt, thank you so much. Hopefully, we'll do another segment sometime just about hostels.
Hey, yeah, I will happily educate you about theft and locks, and, you know, and you know, hostel dorms have lockers where you can lock your stuff in.
Right. Good. I'm glad to hear
Crazy.
this. I'm really
All
glad.
right,
All right, buddy. Thank you.
man. Thanks for having me on.
See ya.
See you later.